good in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Good to have Brother Dillard with us. Amen. Always good to see him. His days are numbered. He's got just a little bit over a month, and then his life is going to change for the better. Said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, or they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You notice when that conversation was being carried out there between him and the Pharisees and who all, they were under Roman rule.
Yeah.
And yet they said, we're not in bondage, never have been. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. We'll talk tonight about the price of freedom. Let's pray our hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be here with your children in a place, Lord, that belongs to you. Everything about us, Lord, we just give to you, to give honor and praise to you. We pray tonight, Lord, that you'll break the bread of life to your children. Lord, does not lie within a man to do so, but we yield ourselves to you and ask God that you just use us, speaker and hearer. Say, Lord, things tonight that would be a blessing to your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The price of freedom. You know, the scripture tells us that Jesus can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, right? You know, it tells us that he was tested and tempted or tried at all points like we are. And so because he's been there and he's been tested and tried in the same way that we are, then he knows what it's like.
That's right.
Right? He became one of us. He became kinfolk. You know, he could not be a proper mediator for us if he didn't know.
Yeah.
That's something to really think about. Brother Brown talked about how that you could enter into that person's needs. Once you can do that, well, then your prayer could be more effective. And we should try to remember that when we're praying for someone. Stop and think about what they're going through.
Yes.
Right? Think about what it, like Brother Daniel over there a while ago said, I just can't imagine what it would be like to lose a child in a drowning like that. But try to put yourself in there till you have feeling. And then go to the Lord with prayer like that, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, not to add to the scripture, but you understand what I mean, availeth much.
Yes.
And so he knows what we're going through, and so he's able to help us through those things. But I think we should be the same way. I think we should look at our brothers and sisters, and when they're going through something, maybe they're not performing just up to the standard that maybe you think that they should be or whatever, but put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
You never know what a person's going through. When you see a person walking down the street or you see somebody at work, you look over, you don't know what weight is on their shoulders.
That's
right.
True.
Right? And so just always remember that. We should remember what people are going through and try to put ourselves there. But I also believe that we should also remember what the Lord went through.
Right.
The price that he paid for us.
Yep.
We should remember that. And so I'm not talking about the price of freedom tonight because of Veterans Day, and we just recently had that. I was thinking about this and realized a few days ago we had the day where we celebrate that, or whatever, where it was the ceasefire, right? And so Brother Bram talked about the ceasefire and how that God did that. That was something God did on that ceasefire of 11-11-11-11. And so this is not because of that. However, that is true. What I'm speaking on tonight applies to that also, that we should be thankful for the men who have gone before us to prepare a situation where you and I could be here tonight and we could be in the freedoms to stand here and preach and hear and listen to the gospel without a fear of threat or anything like that. That didn't come without a price. That came with a great price. I think I've mentioned that there's a, you know, it's not entertaining, okay? But the video called The Forbidden Book, it's a history of the Bible and what people did and how they suffered to have this Bible and to print it and to keep it, and as the authorities were chasing them and trying to stop it. And, you know, like I said, it's kind of dry, but if you want to know about the history of the Bible and what people went through so that you and I could have this right here, they went through a lot.
Right.
And those prices were paid so that you and I could have this freely and that we could sit here freely tonight. And so the price of freedom applies to that in the natural as well as it does in the spiritual things. And so, you know, our forefathers knew that freedom is not free.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody has to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And so, but freedom, the way it works is you don't necessarily pay for it for yourself. You have to pay for it for others, most generally, is the way it works. That's how it all works. You pay for it for others. And so, to me, this is something that's lost in this generation that people don't know. I mean, you to understand really something, the value of something, you know, it's, you have to know the feeling of what it takes to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why when you take a child that's raised up and they have a silver spoon in their mouth or whatever type of thing, like that, you hear that phrase or whatever, they just had such nothing but just everything supplied to them. And we live in a generation like that. We've had such blessings, and what's happened is with a generation is raised up and they don't know what it means to have to pay for these things.
Right.
They don't know what it means to have to pay for the freedoms that they have. They're not even, if they don't respect those things and understand those things, to me they're not even worthy of those things if they can't, you know. And so there's a problem nowadays where they just don't know. You know, right now they have a hard time trying to find people to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? Well, I don't necessarily blame them, because who wants to go over and fight for a political war, right? Who wants to send their children off to fight for some politician to line his pockets or whatever might be going on? The powers there that be, and that's what it is. And you realize that since the opening of the seals, we've never won a war. We haven't. We've been in many. We haven't been destroyed, but we've never won one. Right? And so, but I don't blame them for not wanting to sign up for that. And you know, I was listening to this sermon recently. Usually when I listen to a sermon, I'll listen to it over and over several days. I heard Brother Bram talk about this, mentioned twice, I think, just that I caught it, that he mentioned that, about them not being able to get people to join the military.
Yeah.
Right? So people, because it takes people who can pay the price to maintain the things and have the freedoms that we do. And so this that I'm talking about applies to that also, applies to spiritual matters. Our Declaration of Independence we have here in the United States, it has that phrase in there, you know, how that we have these rights that God has given us for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. right? And so those things are given to us by God. I've always said, you know, at least in my adult years of understanding a little bit, man can't give life and he shouldn't be able to take it away.
Right.
Right? Man has no business taking somebody else's life. And so I'm not for death penalty. Brother Branham wasn't. Right? He went and spoke to stop that. And so, yeah, maybe incarcerate someone for the rest of their life. Okay, that's fine. But I just, you know, give that person as much time as God will let them have for repentance and to prepare themselves. And so, but we have, our forefathers were very smart when they come up with it to realize that we have rights given to us to be able to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they knew to put that in there because of where they come from.
Right.
Because they came from tyranny. They came from powers that be that would make them to be servants to slaves and make all these different classes of people and so forth. So they were very blessed of God to be able to give us the Declaration of Independence and the things that they are founding documents that we have. And so we're thankful for that. And we should remember that came with a heavy price. And even to this day, respect those men 200-300 years ago and those men just a few years ago,
right,
that gave their lives so we could all be here today. And if many men had not given their lives like they did, we'd be speaking German.
Yeah.
Nothing against German people, but you understand what I'm saying? That war, what was going on, that's exactly where we would have wound up. So there are many lives and prices that paid so we could have what we have here, the freedoms that we do. And so these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness given to us by God, but there's no shortage of tyranny. There's no shortage of those that want to take that away from you. Right? We understand that. And so when God created all the universe and everything, he created all these different creatures, animals of different sorts and so forth. And so, you know, when he created that, you realize God is infinite, right? There's no limit.
Yeah.
There's no limit to him. And he took out of that infinite being of wisdom and power and all that he has, and from that realm, he made fish, and he made horses and cows, and he made humans,
yeah,
right? And I happen to believe that out of that infinite being that he made it, he made a horse, he made it the right way. And he made cows the right way, and he made humans the right way, and he made dogs the right way. And there's exactly what they needed to be, because he made them that way. Of course, he did it with his word as he spoke. And so, but he made all these different species, and all these different species, as he has made them, he made them so that they could live.
Yeah.
So they could live and prosper, and so they could multiply. And whatever there, if it's a horse, he can run in the runner, you know, and amazing. I didn't know this, but I guess horses have they have a heart, you know, like we do, but they also have pumps in their feet. Did you know that? So when they need more blood, they get it when they're running because it's pumping. I didn't know that until here. Just those videos of amazing creatures that defy evolution. You know, the giraffe, anybody knows about pressure, what it takes to push liquid up high. You got a giraffe, and here he's pumping blood a couple of stories up, lots of pressure. But yet he can put his head down and eat grass, and his head don't blow off from all that pressure because there's valves in his necks to control all that. And it's just, I'm just saying, when God made things, he knew what he was doing,
right?
So he made all these species, and he made every one of those, whether it's a giraffe or a horse or human being, whatever, he all made them so they could love in their own way, live and multiply. The horses could run and do the noises they do, and dogs could bark, and humans could do what God made them to do.
Yeah.
Right? So, and so you didn't make dogs to bark. Well, dogs can bark, and they can eat, and they sleep, and they play, and they wag their tail, and they wake you up in the middle of the night, and Brother Daniel's shaking his head down. But God made them that way.
Right.
and made them to multiply. They're just doing what God made them to do.
Yeah.
Right? It's just natural. That's why I said all species are expansionists. We just, because that's God, well, God said, there you are, be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
And so that's just part normal. And so that's to a dog, for him to be able to bark and to eat and wag his tail and do all that to him is living. He's just doing what God made him, and that's what he wants to do.
Right.
All creatures want to live.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Bram talks about when you see a tree that's dying or whatever, and it's just because there's one that somewhere that doesn't die, or a person struggling, it's because there's a body somewhere that doesn't, right? So all peoples want to live. They don't want to die. They want to multiply. They want to run and have fun, and they want to communicate and do all things like, because God made them that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And so when God made man that way, and made species that way, he also made a habitat for all of them. Habitat for fish, habitat for worms, habitat for chiggers. You know, I'll have to ask the Lord, why did you make a chigger? Right? For their size, they inflict more torture than any other creature on, that's in my opinion. But he made habitat for them. You realize that if you go somewhere and you see an animal, he's living there, it's because there's food there for him. It's because he can run and he can do all the things that God made him to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Gave him a habitat to live in.
Yeah.
So God made all these things. And now think of the Garden of Eden. Think of everything there. God made them, and wasn't any death, wasn't any sorrow, and they had plenty to eat. All the animals were there. The lions could do what they wanted to do. The horses could do what... Nothing was trying to attack or kill, right? So in God's economy, he just made it all, and everything, they all have their own nature, and to them, just to live is just to be able to do what God made them to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And he gave them an environment, a habitat where they could do it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's living. And so freedom is to be able to do that without constraint. Without something trying to stop you from doing it. Without something trying to take your habitat where you can't live. Or take you, bind you up where you can't do that. Because, see, all of those creatures, when they're living that way, including humans, when they're doing what God made them to do, they're a worship to God.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
That's right.
When the dog wags his tail when you come home, he's worshiping God. Why? Because God made him to do that, and he's doing what God made him to do.
That's right.
Right? God made humans.
Yeah.
He made humans to live a certain way, and when we live the way he made us, we're worshiping him. We're giving honor to him.
Yeah.
We're, praise God, running through the fields and enjoying one another's fellowship, and we're just in the presence of God, enjoying the life he gave us.
That's right.
Right? Enjoying one another, enjoying fellowship.
Yeah.
Because he made us that way. Gave us the habitat, gave us the desire. And so we just want to be what God made us to be.
Yeah.
So anything that comes along that tries to stop that is an enemy to the whatever species it is. That's an enemy to a horse if he takes, you know, tries to, you know, stop him from being able what God made him. And he's an enemy. It's an enemy to God too. Because whatever it is trying to stop the animals from being what they are, or the humans from what they are. They're trying to stop that praise of God. Trying to stop that worship.
Yeah.
Right? So it's an enemy to that species because it's trying to keep him from living and multiplying, but it's also an enemy to God because it's hindering God's creation that he has made.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so anything that comes along to try to hinder or prevent or stop, that's an enemy. Mm-hmm. And so when anything is brought into bondage, then it's not free.
Yeah.
You're not in freedom.
Right.
Right? You've been brought into bondage. And so you're not in the freedom to be what God has made you to be. Now we know when Lucifer did what he did, because of what he did, then there's no shortage of forces out there, beings and we'll just call it forces, that want to hinder, want to destroy. You know, he said, Jesus said Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yep.
But he came to give you life, give it more abundantly. He came to put you back to the way God made you in the first place, which was life and having abundantly. And so, but you realize, so because of Lucifer in the fall, you know, that it started in heaven, now it's come down on man and humans, and so all there's evil. There's evil in the world. So all these creatures and all people and everything that could, because of in the Garden of Eden, could just live, and nothing was there to stop them from being what God made them to be. They were free. They were weren't in bondage. But because of the fall, then something moved in.
Yeah.
Right.
Something moved in, and now that something is causing death, sorrow, and bondage. Grabbing hold of humans, their lives, but not just spiritual, but even in the natural. Now there's death, right? Any of those things that have moved in now, and they're putting constraints on and bringing into bondage. So the fall brought bondage to the earth, we know that, and to humanity. And because the earth was in Adam's control, when Adam did what he did, and Eve did what she did, and then the whole thing became in bondage because it was all in his control. The earth became under bondage too. The scriptures tell us, you know, that creation is groaning. Mm-hmm. Just groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the sons of God to come to adoption. They're just groaning. Can you imagine the trees? If you could walk out, if you could talk to that tree would tell you. That it's longing, because it's not free. It's in bondage too, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a whole lot more going on than what people think of a lot of times. And so anyway, because Lucifer did that, he brought bondage here and so put the whole thing into bondage. But you realize, see, God created everything in harmony. There was no species trying to encroach upon another. Was no animal trying to kill another to eat. I'm talking about in Eden. Right? When God made it, it's all in harmony.
Yeah.
The horse could be what he would do, and it wouldn't hurt the sheep. Mm-hmm. Right? Man didn't eat meat until after the flood.
Right.
Did you know that? That's right. And so in that realm, everything was in harmony.
Right.
And so no species had a desire to hinder another species.
Right.
No species had a desire to kill another or to take his habitat from him so that he couldn't live and be what God made him be.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
But when the fall happened and then all this moves in, now everything's different and there's a bondage there. And so you realize, in order for any species to elevate itself above what God made it to be, the only way it can do that, to elevate it, why would anybody want to be more than what God made them to be?
Right.
Why would a person want to have something in their life, a gift or a ability in their life, if God didn't give it to them, didn't want them to have it?
Right.
But if you have it, you certainly want to use it, right?
Right?
Right. That's why a preacher, you know, wants to share the word of God with somebody. Right?
Yeah.
Or Christians want to be a testimony.
Yeah.
You're just wanting to be. But why would a person want to be more? I mean, in your right thinking, we do it all, people do it all the time. They want something that God has to say no. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm glad he told me no 10 million times in my life,
because
I would have destroyed myself many times over.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't want to be something that God's not made us, but you realize that there was no creature, in order for a creature to be more than what God made it, to elevate himself up, the only way he can try to do that is by encroaching upon another, bringing another into bondage to elevate himself. Does that make sense? That's what happens. So what does Lucifer do? Lucifer wanted some higher position, and it cost a bunch of others because of it.
Right?
Right? And so God made everything in harmony, But then you have the fall, and now all these creatures, you know, now the wolf wants to kill the lamb. It's all perverted now.
Right.
It's all in a bondage to be set free. That's why the scriptures tell us, you know, the lamb and the lion will lay together again. Right? Because all that's going to be taken back. But presently, that curse is still out there on earth. And so because of that, you've got all this evil forces, and they want to elevate themselves because Lucifer did. I'm going to do this. So they want to do this.
Right.
And that anointing on people makes them want to be something. And the only way they can do that is to put others in bondage.
Yeah.
Right.
To take away your freedoms. You see what I'm saying? Now, I say all this, and I will. You vote for who you want. I don't tell you who to vote for, but I will tell you. When you see government officials who are really standing for what's right, and you know they're putting their neck on the line, that they could be assassinated because they're trying to restore this nation back to what's right, you need to pray for those people.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're paying a price so that our life could be better, just like our forefathers did. Right? And so I would, you know, you say, well, we don't even pray for the nation, whatever. Our Bible tells us we want to pray for peace. We want to pray that whoever's in power, there is a peaceful situation, as we just recently in prayer requests for the election and so forth. We pray for a peaceful situation. And I thank the Lord for it, the way it's turned out. And so, but in order to elevate themselves, they have to move in on something else, someone else's, and take somebody else's liberty. And so, you know, those animals, every one of those animals, they have, in their own way, just bear with me, but they, like I said a while ago, they have a God-given right to love, to want a mate, to want to swim in the water as a fish would swim, and to be just like all creatures, they all have that right for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness
right.
in their own ways.
Right.
A worm in the ground has got a right, God-given right, to live,
yeah.
Right? And so, because of the fall, then those things come along and bring bondage. Now, bondage can be, it can be physical, it can be mental, it can be spiritual, it can be financial, it can be in all kinds of ways.
Right.
Where you are brought under the control. Like Brother Branham said, God made man. Man made slaves, right? I have no tolerance for someone forcing someone else to be something, you know, like kidnapping or human trafficking, any of this. I have zero tolerance, because if someone doesn't give to you willingly, you take it anyway, you're a thief. You have taken, when you take somebody else's life, that wasn't yours to take.
Right.
Right? You take someone's, their ability to have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And if you touch that to where you make it harder for them to have that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you're a thief. You're a murderer. Right? Maybe they're still alive, but you're moving in the direction of murder, because you're destroying their ability to live.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you look out there and you see this not just in the spirit realm, but you see it in government. You see it in the power. That is the battle that's been going on and with all this these forces in our nation. And it's the enemy's job to make it all confusing.
Yeah.
But the spiritual minded knows that anyone who's standing for that which is in agreement with God's word, that's somebody you need to stand behind.
Right.
I don't care what they are. If they're standing for what's right, stand behind that.
Right.
Amen? Because it's they're standing for the word of God. And so bondage can be in all kinds of ways. Physical, spiritual, mental, financial. And here's the thing about it is, and there's no way I can cover all this tonight, and I'll try to finish here on the last page, but a people can become desensitized. They can be in bondage and forget and become desensitized where they don't even realize they're in bondage anymore.
Right.
That's right. And so forget that they're in bondage, and then even if they're set free, want to go back to it.
Yeah.
Want to go right back into those things. You remember in the Exodus when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and they went out and they were free from Egypt, and they got out there, and when things got a little bit hard, they began to murmur and said, "Would to God we were back in Egypt,
right,
where we had melons and garlics and all that." They got out here, and they're like they wasn't going to have nothing to eat, you know, thinking that, well, God brought us out, but now he's not going to be able to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to, because things wasn't going their way, they're like, "Wish we were back there in Egypt." Because at least back there we had the melons and the leeks and the garlics and we had these things. And what do we got out here? Just this stuff, this light bread or whatever, you know. That's all we have. And so, I mean, you mean you people who were crying out to God and your cry came before God and God said, "I've heard the cry of my people and I've sent Moses down." And now that you're out here, you're saying, "I would to God I was back there again." Isn't that crazy that people can be that way? Right? And so, and you realize that in Laodicea, you're blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked, and you don't know it. You're in bondage, and you don't know it. Right? Because Satan is a wise trickster. He gets people in situations and can cause them to forget, cause them to not realize that they're in bondage, and even make them want to come back to it if they've been set free from it. And so, just like it is with any addiction, you see people and they go right back to it again. Go right back to, you know, get free from smoking, go back to smoking. Get free from drinking, go back to drinking. It's addictions. I remember my father-in-law years ago, we were talking about that, and he was a smoker, and we were talking about it, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "you know, that studies show that human beings will, like for smoking, they know there's a price to pay down the road, but they're because they're not facing it right now, they'll go ahead and smoke. Smoke for the pleasure now that they get from it, if there is such a thing. And knowing that it's going to cost them down the road." Isn't that a strange phenomenon? There may be some scientific term for that. I don't know. But isn't that strange? But you know, it's the same way spiritually and with sin. The people will live. I know a man, he's gone on long ago. Brother Perryman was talking to him, trying to get him to give his heart to the Lord. And he said, "Don't even bother." He said, "I know I'm going to split hell wide open." Isn't that a sad place to be? How did he get that way? There's a life, there's a story behind that. Of how he got to that place where he just, you know, He drank himself to death pretty much and just, you know, knew it was coming, everything's fine, you know. And so man gets to the place where when the price gets a little bit where it's a little bit hard, it's like, "No, I just want to go right back to what I had because it was more comforting," you know. And so what happens is Satan takes the fight out. It takes the fight out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Wear them down.
Yeah.
The scripture said you're going to wear out the patience of the saints.
Yeah.
Right? In Revelation. Try to wear them down. And what he'll do is Satan will offer some pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come and say, "Hi, I'm the devil. I'm here to ruin your day." He comes in and he'll offer things that are pleasure, you know. Sin is beautiful. Sin is, there's pleasure in that. It's not, and so he'll offer things like he had, like they were in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were building treasure cities for the Pharaoh, but the Pharaoh let them have just enough pleasures that when they got free, they could want to go back to them. Right? There was just enough. Oh, we had just enough good time that there's a pull to pull you back. If you give your heart to the Lord, try to get away from those things, and then Satan's trying to get you to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to get you to go back thinking, oh, the bondage I had there, the hangovers I had when I was drinking. He didn't highlight that.
No.
He highlights the good times.
Sure.
And so what you understand, what he's doing, he's given enough pleasures there to mask over, but in all the while, he's got him in bondage.
Yeah.
Like I've said several times, you know, the enemy will, when he wants you to build treasure cities for him, he's got to have you strong enough to build them. But he can't let you get strong enough to get free.
Right.
And that's the way Satan works. He'll give you just enough of the way to make it look good, but no, you can't go free.
Mm-hmm.
And when he puts his hand to denominational systems, that's what they do. Give you just enough of, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but no freedom. And so that's what Satan does. He takes the fight out of people. So as Christians, we're trying to end this now. As Christians, and we have natural life, but as a Christian, we have a God-given desire, a God-given life to live. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in the Spirit, right? Not just in the natural, but in the Spirit. And God has given us an environment, a habitat. He's given us a habitat where we can be Christians and we can love the Lord and love one another and we can pray for one another and God do great things among us. He's got a habitat for this, right? But then you got powers that want to come in and take that habitat away. Take that Holy Ghost experience away from you. Put constraints on you where you can't live and have liberty and happiness in the Lord, right? I'm speaking spiritually now. And so, and you know, there is so much confusion and out there, so how do you know? And the only way I know is that the same thing that you hear all the time is to go back to the Word of God, the Word that created us in the first place. Go back to Him. He's the author. He's the one that made us how we are. And if you want to know how you're supposed to live, if you want to know in the natural how you should live, go back to His Word. He'll tell you.
Right.
And if you want to know what is your right to live for, He paid a price that you can have it, and you can have it. Then go back to the Word of God, and it will tell you what you can have. The liberty to live as a Christian in this world, and God, that the presence of God be there. You know, it's the same for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not live in bondage.
Right.
He is free. He will. There are environments, there are habitats He will not live in.
Right.
Right? So we want to make sure we have a habitat that He's willing to be in.
Yeah.
You know my Brother Brown talking about seeing the Holy Spirit moving around Milky Way, but he was seeing in one particular place. He was talking about he was seeing it moving around, just looking for a believing heart to rest upon.
Mm-hmm.
He could just see it moving from one person to the next. Because He knows if there's a believing heart. And the scripture says, what house will you build me? Saith the Lord. We do all this work on this church here. That ain't it. What house will you build me? Saith the Lord. And where is the place of my rest?
Right.
He needs rest.
Mm-hmm.
He wants rest. Just like we're made in His image. Where can He find rest? Well, He can find rest in a place that He would consider home. Like we do, a place that's acceptable, a habitat that's acceptable. And so we want to make sure that we live and our lives are such that it's conducive that the Holy Spirit would be happy to come and rest with us and fellowship with us. So it's the same thing. Satan trying to move in and make it to where there's no place for the Holy Spirit to relax, right? We're in a warfare, saints. We are in a war. We're winners. Christ made, he just, the victory's won, but you've got to fight. You know, most of the battles we know, you got to go fight before you find out where you win or not. Not this one. The battle's already won, but we got to go fight. Right? You got to go fight. Amen. So, freedom costs. And while we're enjoying it, because we're enjoying freedom, while we're doing it, even presently, there's people fighting for it. But there's people that fought for it before us. in our nation, but there's men who died for this gospel. The Lord, John the Baptist, it's dripping with blood, that song. Those people paid that price, and we're sitting here tonight in the freedom. And we need to remember what it cost. And one of the best ways you can remember what it cost is remember that you have to pay a price too. It's for the next generation to come, if there is one, right? And so, I don't say that these people fighting for us are going to change anything. I don't know. They might. We might get 4 years of something good. I don't know. But there's one thing for sure. In the spirit realm, people have given their lives for this gospel, and we are to do the same. Amen. And so while you're enjoying it, be thankful. While you're enjoying it, make sure you're paying that price. Make sure you're passing it along to someone else. Make sure you're teaching your children, your people, what it costs, so that they don't forget that. Amen. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, freely you've received, now freely give. Amen. God has touched your life, now you go touch somebody else's life. You gave it for free. You got it for free because he paid the price for you, so it's free to you. Now somebody else needs it for free too, and you have to pay the price to make sure they get it. You follow that? See, it has to be paid by somebody. And that's how it is. Parenting is all about giving your lives for your children. And you know, freedom to some seems like bondage to others. If you put me out in the water, I'm not much of a swimmer. You put me out in the ocean, it'd be bondage. But it's freedom to a fish that lives out there. You put me up on land, I'm happy. You take the fish and put the fish up on land, that's bondage. Right? So you have people in this message, in this gospel message that we proclaim as freedom. And there are people who look at that as bondage. And it has to do with what's in them. Right? If they don't have a new birth, they'll think this word is bondage. But if you're born again into the kingdom of heaven, that spirit loves this word and says, this is not bondage, this is freedom. We are free from the law of sin and death in Christ, because of Christ Jesus, what he did. Amen. Mm-hmm. Aren't you happy that you're free?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
And we are thankful for that. Didn't say it will set you free. I've said this over and over. You can be set free and be in jail the next day.
Right.
But when he makes you free, you can't be in bondage ever again. Right?
Okay.
Thank God for that. He has set us and made us free. Amen. I'm going to let the musician come here. We'll pray just for a moment and let you go. Service tonight. Lord, just a few thoughts about the price that he's been paying all the ages long. Lord, we just pray that you help us to remember these things and go out and live, Lord, the freedoms and the rejoicing that you made us to do, to live in. Lord, we realize there's so many evils on every hand, but God, you have won that victory for us, and we proclaim this. Pray, God, that you just live in through us in such a way that it will be obvious to those that are around us, Lord, that they'll be thirsty as they see a salty life of a Christian living before them. We love you, Lord. We thank you for these little times together in midweek. Ask for your blessings upon each one of those that have streamed and will stream. And we ask it in Jesus' name.